I'm going to be reading the apostle reading today. So this is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Today is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 25. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped, short, saddened, written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles. And he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing. They had seen angels who told them, 'Jesus is alive.' Some of our men ran out to see. Sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. He said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Jesus appears to the disciples, then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. The word of the Lord.
Please be seated. So Ray is going to do the message, so I'm going to pray for him, and it's the Ray Nearman Hour of Power, so come on up, big guy. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the sky. I thank you for the Spirit of God that is in him, and the Spirit is strong. I thank you for his friendship. Lord, I thank you that over this past week, he's been in this Luke 24 text, and he and I have been wrestling with it together. And what a joy it is for friends to be in God's word together. And so I pray that you would anoint his heart with the voice of a prophet, give him a heart of desire to just speak on your behalf, and just take care of, if he's nervous, which I'm sure he is, take care of his nerves, Lord Jesus. Help us to receive what he has to say, knowing that you're going to work through his words, because that's what you do. And so guide us. Give us coachable hearts, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen. Everybody, let's welcome him.
All right, so as PB said, I'm Ray Nierman. He's definitely right. I'm pretty nervous. So PB has this interesting style of sermon preaching that is something that's been new to me that I've been working through and trying to figure out this past week. Since he has some bullet points that he sets out, and he wants to touch on those and really mostly speak from the heart, and it's not like a script like other sermons I've given in the past. So here's to giving that a try. So we'll start out with, like, when going through the reading, there's a few obvious questions we have, right? Why does Jesus hide himself? Why does God hide Jesus from the disciples? What's the purpose of that? What is God trying to accomplish? Why does this story make it into the Bible? What's the significance of that? And we go through that story, and it doesn't really give us a direct answer. So I'm here to attempt to shed some light on that, at least what PB and I have talked about that we think is probably pretty significant. I got to help decide the question for earlier today. And so the question was based around who is somebody that's made an impact in your life that may or may not know about it, and describe that positive experience. I'll tell a little bit about mine. I got to talk to Mark, and I talk about from seventh grade year at my high school's, and we did a musical that was 7 through 12. And just one of the senior leaders that year, at her graduation, I went to congratulate her, and she kind of just pulled me aside and told me that she had admired me, like my leadership as a young student, and thought that I would, like, if I continued, that I'd be able to step up and be a leader. And that was something that was really impactful for me, that was really positive, and really did help shape the rest of my high school career, as well as into my college career as well. Looking back on that, I think, like, what made her take that time out of her day, out of a day that was supposed to be celebrating her, to celebrate me and help give me hope for growth. And the only answer I can come up with is God, right? God has this very real impact in our lives that does not always shine through church. It does not always shine through reading the Bible. It's not always something that's real. Sometimes it's very abstract. We come to church, we talk about God and how he works in the world, and we think of the sunshine, and we think of all these very real things, but then sometimes we think of forgiveness. We're like, how does that actually look like? We think of grace. How does that actually look like to give people grace? How does it actually look to show people love and kindness? And sometimes it's very hidden. Sometimes the acts of God in the world are hidden, just like Jesus hid himself from the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He begins with hiding himself, and then from that, he's able to teach them. They don't know who this guy is. They don't know why they're listening to him. But then after the fact, they're looking back on, like, after they recognize Jesus, they look back in retrospect, and they're like, this was God. Our hearts were burning. God was moving in our lives. And I think that's something we can all do. If we think back to different impacts that people have had in our lives, whether that person's a Christian or not, whether it was intentionally them acting out God in our lives or not, we can think to those experiences and think of the impact that God had in our lives. And so I invite you to take a second, similar to the question earlier, and think back to that interaction that you thought through and think, how did God use that person to impact my life? And that's kind of what the message that I am getting from the Road to Emmaus is, the message of the hidden Christ, the hidden God, the one who doesn't always act in ways that are obvious and big and glorious, but the one who acts in ways throughout interactions with your brothers, interactions with your friends, service events with the university, any sort of positive interactions that have a positive effect on your life. And with that recognition of God's real work in our lives, that's very concrete and not as abstract as we often imagine it to be, I'd like to leave you guys with a challenge. Be that little bit of Christ in other people's lives. It doesn't have to be, I'm going about and being very intentional about like dragging people into church or inviting them to church, and that's always a great thing, but sometimes it's just that act of kindness. It's just helping people carry food in for the great meal that's being prepared for us today. It's being willing to come and prepare food for us today. It's coming to church and meeting someone new and sharing an inspiring story from your past. Sometimes we don't often realize the impact that we're having on others. And we especially don't realize that oftentimes that impact can be very Christ-focused. So with that, I'd like to leave you with a little prayer, and then we'll move on to the setting aside. But if you'll bow your heads and pray with me, Dear Lord, thank you for giving us impactful people that speak your word into our lives, even when they may not realize it. Please help us to go out into the world and see those very real effects of your love for us, and help us to realize where we may have the potential to affect others in a similar way. Help us to recognize that through our living out your love in the world, we may never know the impact that we have, but help us to live out your love in the world either way. In the Lord's name we pray. The sound of a symphony.